Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Apples and Genos Fantasy Hockey Podcast. My name is Nacre Niblink. I'm the creator of Apples and Genos, originator of the Zero-G Draft Strategy. And in this podcast, I'm going to do my yearly review of how that Zero-G Draft Strategy performed in 2023-24. And we'll see if there's any new information we can use or to improve or modify the strategy for next year. Let's get it. All right, well, before we get started in on this one, I am going to give my canned statement on the Zero-G strategy, which I must have given like a dozen times on this podcast by now. Still doesn't seem to land with some people, but for the record, I am not the first person to fade goalies in fantasy hockey drafts. I have never claimed to be, but I will say that Zero-G is far more than just fading goalies. I've put years of research and theory into building this strategy into a holistic approach to the goaltender position in fantasy hockey, and this is really something that has an application and an action for every stage of the fantasy season now. This is honestly my single largest and best contribution to the fantasy hockey community, and frankly, I take a ton of pride in having created something that has already helped hundreds of fantasy managers beat their rivals, and honestly, that's why I mention it at the top of every episode. But enough with that preamble. I know everyone's here for the numbers. Boy, do I have that in spades for you on this one. If you're watching on YouTube, you're going to be able to see a little bit more of what I'm talking through. If you're a regular audio listener and you don't usually watch on YouTube, this might be one where you do want to check out the YouTube. You're still going to get lots out of it from listening. Don't worry about that. But it might be one where the visual aids are extra helpful. So if that's something you want to do, then definitely head over to the Apples and Genos YouTube. While you're there, you know, get the like and subscribe going. We would appreciate that. But regardless, I've got some good data up on the screen for us in this one. So this first tab, I've kind of built out this spreadsheet. The spreadsheet's going to be available for all Apples and Geos patron members. Quick shout out for the patron members and a plug for the patron, for the Patreon, I guess. You can definitely join that. There'll be a link in the description throughout the entire summer. It's like, I think it's $1.50. It's basically the lowest that Patreon can do for a monthly subscription throughout all the summer. So if you want to get access to this sheet, you can absolutely join the Patreon for like $1.50 and download the sheet, and you can leave again if you want to. If that's all it's worth to you, then by all means do that. But this sheet will be available for patron members. The first tab here is this yearly comparison that I've done over the past four seasons now. I use season-long data. I'm using the Kakupful point system. I've talked about this before, but for anybody who's not familiar, I use the Keeping Carlson Ultimate Patron Fantasy League point system just to have a system that, you know, is constant and isn't, you know, like Yahoo system or ESPN system, which I take serious issue with. I think the Kakupful system is as good as anything out there, and so that's why I continue to use it. It's gained a lot of, I think, popularity across other leagues. I see a lot of people using this system when they're creating their own leagues, so that's why I'm using this. I think it's about as good as we've got. So I will also explain, so if you're watching, you'll see that I have goalies by ADP rank, and I have them in two buckets, ranks 1 through 14 and 15 through 28. I started doing it this way when I first did my very first Zero-G article, which was really the start of it all. I started doing it this way because Kakupful is a 14-team league, so you're kind of thinking about the goalies ranked 1 through 14 as the top goalie on every team, and the goalies 15 through 28 as the second goalie on every team. Obviously, some teams will draft two goalies from that first group, and some teams will draft two goalies from the second group, or, you know, it's not exactly going to work out that way every time, but to give you an idea of the top 14 goalies by ADP rank, so the goalies that were the goalie taken first all the way through the goalie taken 14th in the draft. And so that's what the data that I'm using here. And you can see over the years, it's been up and down. I've got it broken into total fantasy points and fantasy points per game played. And then what I've done for each bucket of the goaltenders ranked 1 through 14 and the goaltenders ranked 15 through 28. What I've done is I've basically calculated those goaltenders that were 1 through 14 in ADP at the start of the season. I've calculated their average finish in both total points and then fantasy points per game played. So like average fantasy points basically in for both of those buckets. And so originally in the very first year, and the reason 0G really got started, the goaltenders ranked 15 through 28 actually outperformed the goaltenders ranked 1 through 14. That was kind of where I really had the aha moment, and I said, holy cow, these later ranked goaltenders are actually outperforming the goaltenders that were ranking earlier. And like, it just makes no sense to be drafting goalies earlier. Since then, you know, it hasn't been definitely not to that extent. The following year, I was like, oh wow, like it's totally flipped. The goaltenders that were ranked 1 through 14 actually had a pretty good year. And what's going on here? Was I totally wrong about the strategy? But realistically, I think what I've come to realize is that the reason that 0G works is that you can find goaltenders that are performing well for short periods of time. And yes, the goaltenders ranked highly will probably, on average, outperform the goaltenders ranked a little bit later. But A, they're much more likely to flame out and just perform spectacularly poorly and actually kind of sink your team for where you drafted them. And B, you can kind of cobble together 2, 3, 4, 5 goaltenders throughout the year who will actually perform just as well as even those top-ranking goaltenders. And I'll get into that a little bit later as well. But for anyone who wants to kind of peruse this data and see how it's shaped over the last number of years, I would say that, you know, kind of in general, 2020, 2021, and 2022, 2023 were both kind of bad years for goalie variance in that we couldn't really predict goalies very well in those years. And then I would say 2021, 22, and this past year, 2023, 24, are actually relatively good years for the top-ranked goalies. They by and large performed. A lot of that has to do with health. You know, if goalies get injured, you know, obviously both their, you know, their total points scored goes down by a fair bit. I did, you know, remove in all of these cases, I did remove goalies that didn't play enough games just so that they wouldn't pollute the sample. You know, if the goalie ranked number one overall, the goalie that was taken first in a given year or only played 5 games, of course, there's no chance that he had to finish first in fantasy points. And so that's been removed. That's not affecting this data. And still, you don't see a huge separation, which is the main point to take away. Even in the kind of best year for the top-ranked goaltenders, which was 2021-22, you just don't see a massive, massive separation where the goaltenders taken earlier completely wipe the floor with goaltenders taken later. And that's the kind of the main takeaway that I'm getting from this. Throughout the 4 years that I've done it so far, definitely I would also say there's big time ups and downs throughout the years, and I would, you know, it's just as likely that next year we'll have a really bad time predicting the top 14 goaltenders as we will have a good time, in my opinion. So, still a lot of variance. This past year was pretty good, but I don't know that we can confidently say that this next upcoming year will be as good. And it's kind of surprising that they're that good because I think a lot of people had a lot of the frustrations with their top-ranked goaltenders. There's really a lot of goaltenders that, you know, came on at the very end of the season. They had kind of already sunk their fantasy managers and came on at the very end of the season to recover. Just with a lot of volume, a lot of guys got there. You know, the one thing that we're seeing more and more now is these tandems just evolving naturally, where a lot of teams are playing 1A, 1B style instead of a true number one and a true backup. And so the obvious number one goaltenders, the ones that are not in a 1A, 1B kind of tandem situation, they're the ones that are getting drafted earlier. And so they're in total, in terms of total volume, they're a little bit more predictable than the other players that are being drafted at the time. And so I think that can explain a little bit as well why in this most recent season, especially, we're seeing a little bit more of that, those top 14 goaltenders taken, kind of returning that value a little bit better in terms of total performance on the season. Again, you'll have lots of ups and downs, and you might be wishing that you hadn't spent that pick on the goaltender at times throughout the season, but in terms of total on the season, they're doing better. I won't say that they're good investments, and we'll get into why later, but they're doing better than in some seasons past, especially that 2020-2021 season where this all started for me. So that's what I have to say about that one. So let's get into the next tab here, which is basically just the season-long data for the goaltenders. I have the actual data in this sheet, so their wins, loss, saves, save percentage, goals against average, shutouts, and then I have the formula in there that's kind of calculating the kakuffle points and the kakuffle points per game. Then I ranked them in terms of, where they finished on the season in terms of total kakuffle points and in terms of kakuffle points per game played, their average points, I guess you would call that. I have removed all goaltenders that didn't play at least 30 games. So any goaltender 29 games played and under is removed from the sample. And that's just to keep, those goaltenders with very few games played, but had a few really great games from polluting the points per game played mark here. So from this sample, I've arranged it on the sheet. If you're watching on YouTube, you see it's arranged or sorted by the ADP rank, so what order they were drafted in. I will note that Andrei Vasilevskiy was picked second behind Igor Shesterkin. A lot of people obviously drafted before the news about Vasilevskiy came out that he was going to miss some time, and he plummeted after that. But most, if not all, of these drafts, I believe, for kakuffle would have taken place before then. So I will note as well that in the past, I've often used Yahoo ADP. I've decided to use kakuffle ADP for most of my analysis this year. I think it's just a sharper ADP overall. You have committed fantasy managers, they're paying money to play in the kakuffle, and so they're already making some sort of investment up front, and that kind of already elevates them above the casuals on Yahoo. And so I'm using kakuffle ADP just to try to use sharper ADP in general. So there is, a case where, the comparisons to yesteryear, if you're trying to look back at some of the data that I've done in previous years, I'm using sharper ADP now than I was in years past. So if you're trying to kind of do that math, I have included the Yahoo ADP for all of these in the Yahoo ADP ranks as well. By and large, I think the top end of the goaltenders, you can see it if you're looking on YouTube, but top end of the goaltenders, like everybody, whether they're on Yahoo or in Kakuffle, they're all taking Shesterkin, Vasi, Ottinger, Saros, Sorokin, Georgiev, Hellebuck. These were really commonly the top goaltenders taken. So I don't think it swayed really the top end of goaltenders too much. It was more later on that it had more of an effect. So overall, I don't think it's too crazy to think that this is pretty comparable to years past, but just wanted to note that in case anybody is a real sicko and is going back and looking at all my previous 0G years and doing comparisons for themselves. So basically, I just wanted to take a look through this and kind of talk through, the top end goaltenders. From the top end, we had Shesterkin, Ottinger, Saros, Georgiev, Vasilevskiy. They all started very poorly. Vasilevskiy, obviously, for injury reasons. But a lot of people had a lot of grief from their top end goaltenders very early in the season. Shesterkin and Ottinger largely recovered eventually. In the end, Shesterkin ranked fourth in total kakuffle points. Ottinger ranked 10th. Shesterkin third in average kakuffle points, and Ottinger 10th again. So they didn't sink you in the end, but early on, it was a true mess for people who had invested early picks. And it took a long time for that to really turn around for them. And they were great down the stretch when you really needed them, but they might have cost you some big time wins, honestly, in your leagues if you used an early pick on a lot of these players. Kakuffle ADP, a lot of people using some form at least of 0G. Shesterkin was the first goalie taken at an average ADP of 42. So that's already, what is that in Kakuffle? It's 14 team league, so back end of the third, but into the fourth in a standard 12 team league. So definitely a little bit later ADP than you might see on a spot like Yahoo, where Shesterkin was taken at an average ADP of 15th. Definitely much, much earlier over there. So that definitely didn't help people and may have dug people into some holes that they were ultimately unable to climb out of in some cases. One thing I want to say too is I often get people who respond to these sorts of things with a lot of hindsight bias. They'll tell me, Connor Hellebuyck was an early pick and he was awesome. And that's not really the way you can look at it, right? That's hindsight bias. That's looking back at the end result and saying, this one player was great, and so therefore 0G can't be true. If that was true, then we should have been taking Hellebuyck much earlier. He was on average taken behind all these guys: Shesterkin, Vasilevskiy, Ottinger, Saros, Sorokin, and Georgiev, which I know everybody believes is a mistake now, but nobody was believing that at the time. He was close to Georgiev, but more than half a round ahead of Sorokin, who was the next one after that. Definitely Hellebuyck was not a priority amongst these top-end goaltenders for a lot of people. And so anybody in my mentions talking about how Hellebuyck disproves 0G, you're unwittingly, I would say, using hindsight bias. And I'm just not going to be able to take your argument with any amount of credence. There's better arguments, honestly, to be made in just how well the top-end goaltenders performed overall. Like Vasilevskiy was the one who didn't perform best in terms of total points. Obviously, he had injury, which really hampered him there, but was not very good all season long. Ended up with a 2.90 goals against average and then just a 900 save percentage. Definitely not the Vasi we've known over the past number of years. Georgiev, I think, well documented his struggles. He ranked 26th in average points per game. It was just awful. Basically got into the top 10 by sheer volume, but was pretty much awful all season long. Really, Demko out of the eight spot in terms of the ADP rank here was the big winner, I guess, aside from Hellebuyck, obviously, but he was drafted on average in Kakuffle 86.5, and he was stellar. Dealt with an injury, but he was second in Kakuffle points per game and sixth in total points at the end of the season, despite the injury. So he was terrific, arguably the best goalie pick made this season. I want to say too, you'll hear me talk a lot about team situation when it comes to goaltenders. Georgiev had the best team situation, arguably, of any of these guys. I mean, it's comparable at the very least to any of the top end guys here, and still performed the worst all season long in terms of his startability game to game. Like I mentioned, got there on volume in terms of the total points, but was not very useful. And at times was being he had Antonin starting over him, which was not a good look for fantasy managers down the stretch. I had Georgiev on one team in the Apples and Junos Patron League, where everybody faded goalies to the nth degree, and eventually I decided to take the plunge on Georgiev. I think it was the 10th or 11th round there where I took him, which obviously wasn't happening in a lot of other leagues, but and honestly, I wish I hadn't. So there you go, Georgiev for you, I guess. So yeah, past the top eight, I guess, if you're going to include Demko there, then you get into what I would call the disaster section. Couple diamonds in the rough, but really, you have Tristan Jarry in this range, who was pretty awful. You have Samsonov, who was awful, then was pretty good, then was awful again at the end of the season. Gustafsson was awful. Allmark kind of let Swayman take over a bit of the net. He was good on a per game played basis, but you probably had lots of weeks where he only started a single game for you this year, and that was not generally helpful overall. Skinner was a volume play, but again, he started really, really poorly and cost a lot of people. A lot of early weeks. I saw him dropped in leagues early on. So Skinner was not a great pick early on, and then eventually turned into a volume play, basically, for Edmonton as they turned things around. You got Vanecek, you got Kemper. Markstrom, I guess, was fine given where he was being drafted. But then you finally get to Sergei Bobrovsky, and it's really further down here where you start to find the true gems. Bobrovsky finished second in total points in Kakuffle and sixth in average points. So really good season from Bobrovsky. He was the 17th goaltender taken on average. Really good team in Florida, which again, I think is something that I'm always going to be harping on. Goaltenders from really good teams, even if you don't believe in them, they're worth the bet there, especially if you can get them at this kind of ADP. Then later on, Binnington was the other massive W. He was fifth in total points and seventh in average points. You got him down at goaltender number 28 on average in Kakuffle. Was basically great all year long. Jeremy Swayman on a per game basis was terrific, even on a total 16th in total Kakuffle points, but fourth in average Kakuffle points per game there. So Swayman all the way down at goaltender number 30 on average was really good. Even beyond this, this is where you're getting into a lot of the waiver wire guys or guys even further down. You had UPL was obviously terrific, 12th in total points, 16th in average points, really came on after a slow start. You have Cam Talbot up here, 11th in total and average points, had kind of two really good stretches, and in the middle of the season was truly awful and unstartable. Kind of a really weird season, but really also just highlights how volatile goaltending can be and why you might want to be in and out and in again on a goaltender throughout the course of the season, and why you probably don't want to be hanging on to goaltenders who are not performing at that exact moment in time. Further down, you get Charlie Lindgren, 13th in total points, 8th in average points. He had a terrific season as well. Revelation in the back half of the season, was a Zergy hero for a lot of people. There are a lot of goaltenders who had extended stretches where they're really good. Joey Decord, Connor Ingram, Samuel Ersin, Alex Lyon, Pyotr Kochetkov, Alex Nedeljkovic. They all had extended stretches where they could be relied upon, not even just as a decent goaltending option, but like a very top end, like top flight goaltending option. And so that's what I really wanted to highlight this year. And so I wanted to dig a little deeper than I normally do, even in these episodes. And what I came up with was this tab here, which I've basically broken up the season into quarters and eighths. Really, what I'm trying to do with this tab, with this data, is to highlight the variance of the goaltending position throughout the course of the season. And that's really what makes the goaltending position so exploitable for fantasy purposes. You're using the zero G draft strategy. I'm not going to go through every single quarter and eighth of the fantasy season, but I really do want to pull a few lessons from this data. Basically, here you have the first quarter, and then if I scroll down, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter, and then below that, eighths of the season. And I have this sorted by the total Kakuffle points they scored in each quarter or in each eighth, so top five and top 10. And then if you scroll over to the right, if you're looking at this sheet, or if you're using this sheet later on, then you'll have the average by quarter again and by eighth again. And then of course I've sorted by average, and I did use, a cutoff point. I used at least 10 games played for the quarters, and I used at least 5 games played for the eighths of the season when doing the average. Otherwise, you could get a single game played, and that would obviously, any goaltender could have one shutout game played in a single quarter, a single eighth of the season, and be at the top of the list. So that's what this sheet is. Like I said, you can peruse it if you're in the Apples and Juice Patreon. You can peruse it and you can see what other lessons you might be able to learn from this data. But a few things that really stuck out to me when I was going through it for myself. This first quarter here just really highlights for me, we can't even predict the first quarter of the season correctly with our goalie ADP. The first four goalies in total Kakuffle points scored were Thatcher Demko, Cam Talbot, Aiden Hill, and Tristan Jarry. They were drafted 86th, 244th, 181st, and 108th on average in Kakuffle, which is, basically the sharpest ADP I have access to. So that's that just really goes to show in my mind how little we know about the goaltending position, even for the first part of the season, which should be the part of the season that we're the best at predicting with our ADP, right? We feel like we have some idea of what the goaltending situations are going to be going into the season. Not so much. You have Jonas Johansson down here, who is, what is this, rank number 7. You have Bobrovsky, who already showed up very early. You do get Sorokin, Hellebuck, Georgiev, and Ottinger showing up in total. In total, a couple points here, but again, mostly doing that on the back of some volume here, more than anything else, and really only making up 4 of the top 10 in this first quarter of play. So if you think that, it might just be worth it to get a top-end goaltender just for that first quarter of play to get yourself a solid foundation, even that is highly fraught, I will say, in terms of what you might actually get out of that early goalie selection, even for the first quarter of the season. Another thing I want to say here, Connor Hellebuck, the only goalie who ranked in the top 10 in points scored in all 4 quarters of the season. Obviously, he got some terrific volume to be able to do that, but it really was a terrific season for Connor Hellebuck. Don't want to, take anything away from the man. He had a terrific season, showed out in the first quarter, he was sixth. In the second quarter, he was first. In the third quarter, he was fourth. In the fourth quarter, he was second. So really provided really strong numbers all the way through. But again, this was the 7th-ranked goaltender by Kakuffle ADP. We were taking a lot of other goaltenders above him in the same tier. If you think you know how to pick out the Connor Hellebuck for next year, and I guarantee you it's not going to be Connor Hellebuck next year, it's going to be somebody else. If you feel like you have a bead on how to pick out that one goalie who's going to do that again next year, then be my guest. But realistically, I think it was really a 1 in 7 shot that you had of pulling out the right guy from that. And Hellebuck really did separate from all the other goaltenders this year in terms of total and average Kakuffle points. So he really was the one with a bullet that kind of separated from the pack. And I really don't think that's something we should be chasing just because I really do view it as like a 1 in 7 shot you had of correctly picking the guy who was going to be a difference maker at the top end of this goaltender list. So I also wanted to highlight Joey Decord and Charlie Lindgren had 2 of the top 3 quarters of any goalie this season by total Kakuffle points. So you had Hellebuck, who had the first ranked quarter. I believe that was in quarter, or sorry, Lindgren had the best single quarter, playing an unreasonable amount of games in the fourth quarter and garnering 133.8 Kakuffle points in Q4. Then you had Hellebuck in Q2, who got 124.2, and Decord right behind him in Q2 as well, 123.9. So if you're looking for, who's, providing you an elite quarter of the season, an elite, 20-21 game stretch of the NHL season, they're getting 15, 16 starts, most of these guys who are showing up here. Even that you can't predict just by taking the guys who are the clear number ones. The highest highs came from Hellebuck, yes, but also Joey Decord and Charlie Lindgren, who nobody could have possibly predicted at the start of the season. Then, getting beyond this, I kind of at the bottom of this sheet, I did some graphs just to show by quarter where the top 5 finished and where the top 10 finished. So if you're interested in the graphs, you can come check those out. But really, I don't think there's too much that's super instructive from the graphs that I was able to show here. I was kind of curious to see if we would see on average the ADP rank kind of going up over the season. You do see it in some graphs, but not others. There's doesn't seem to necessarily be an overall upward trend, where basically we're predicting the early part of the season better than we're predicting the end part of the season. We didn't really see that in this year. Maybe in a different year, it would be a little bit different, where the top-end goaltenders didn't perform quite as well, or we had more injuries, or whatever the case may be. But didn't really see that this season. So I'm not sure there's a lot to take away from these graphs. I was mainly hoping that it would show that we're better at predicting goaltender performance earlier in the season than we are later in the season. And really, that didn't come out in the data. So I don't want to mislead anybody on that either. Then down here, I have the number of times each goaltender finished top 10 in a quarter of the season and the number of times a goaltender finished top 10 in an eighth of the season. So 22 different goaltenders finished top 10 in points scored in at least one quarter of the season. So, you know, that's a lot of goaltenders. 22 different goaltenders finished top 10 at least once in the four quarters of the season. 37 different goaltenders finished top 10 in points scored in at least one eighth of the season. And there's a few guys that I want to go down and highlight. Like, I think people may have already forgotten about the end of the season run that Nedeljkovic had, really had like won people championships legitimately. David Rittich, when Cam Talbot was just absolutely out to lunch and couldn't save a beach ball, David Rittich had a really good run there for an eighth of the season. So he gets on this list. Even Elvis Merzlikins, Daniil Tarasov, the Columbus guys had stretches during the season where they were that good. Lucas Dostal, Mackenzie Blackwood shows up on this. Martin Jones, remember when Martin Jones was starting for the Leafs when Samsonov couldn't stop a beach ball and Wall was injured? Martin Jones came in and he had a really nice stretch. Philip Grubauer, as bad as he was, he had a stretch in here. Semyon Varlamov at the end of the season took over for Sorokin, had a good stretch. Philip Gustafson, as bad as his season was, had a really good stretch. There's so many goaltenders who had really good stretches. Yeah, this will be like 20, I think it worked out to 24 days. I did it by days. Broke the season into quarters and eighths by days of the season, because obviously each team plays a different amount of games by certain days in the season, so you can't really do it by games played. So yeah, I think it worked out to something like 24 days is one eighth of the season. So over a 24-day stretch, which is close to a month, right? Like it's a decent amount of time, 3 weeks of your fantasy season, you're getting top 10 performances from all these names. If you're on the ball enough and available to see it. And a lot of them, you would be able to see it, right? Like we saw it when Martin Jones was taking over and we were able to pick him up. When Jonas Johansson started the season for Vasilevsky, people were able to pick him up. Yeah, when Rittich was starting in place of Talbot, we were able to pick him up. When Kotchikov was in when nobody else was there for the Hurricanes, we were able to pick him up. A lot of these players, it was pretty predictable as to when we were able to get them. I just wanted to make a point. Yeah, I haven't really got there yet, but I just want to make a point on the average, why I'm talking differently about the total points and the average points, or the points per game, however you want to phrase that. I think that just gives you an indication of how well the goalie was performing aside from just the volume, you know, taking away the volume from the equation, and how well they're performing for your fantasy team every time that you put them in your lineup. You know, were they giving you good points? Because, you know, some certain weeks they may have had three games played, and so that week they were actually really good for you if they're scoring well on average. And that can be even better for you than, you know, just somebody who's getting a ton of volume, like a Georgiev, who's getting run out there every game and still being terrible, but, you know, in the end gets their own volume alone. So I think that there is some value into looking at how well goaltenders were performing when they started. So I think that is a valuable piece to look at, and that's why I've included that in my analysis here. If you look at the average points, or the points per game played, you have 20 different goaltenders who finished top 10 in points per game in at least one quarter of the season. And then you have 41 different goaltenders that finished top 10 in points per game in at least one eighth of the season. Yeah, you're going to see a lot of the same names, obviously, but also some different ones in there. Just a tremendous amount of turnover in terms of how many different goaltenders are finishing in that range throughout the course of the season. And that's really what I wanted this sheet to highlight. And I really like to highlight this data as well, because I hear people talking about how you have to hit on the correct waiver wire goalies, like it's some impossible task. You know, it's, you have to hit on the correct waiver wire goalies. It's like drafting goalies. It's all a crapshoot anyway. You just have to be the guy who gets lucky to land on the correct waiver wire goalies for this to work for you. First off, it's not comparable to drafting goalies in my mind. We have far more data. We have way better insight into the goaltending situations and the coaching decisions that are coming coming down in season than we do at draft time. It's way easier to predict at least starts, right, for any goaltender, at least when they're going to be starting in the season. So in my mind, that part of it, not comparable at all to draft season. It's much, much easier to predict goalies in season than it is at draft season. And also, I just think that the premise here is not true, that you have to, you know, make some impossible guess and luckily hit on the correct waiver wire goalies for this to work. And I do have a heuristic for this that I'll touch on a little bit later. It's really straightforward. You know, it's really just step by step. Look for these things, and then I'll pick up a goalie based on those things. And I think it's really easy to look at and make quick decisions with a little bit of research and a little bit of paying attention to how goaltending situations are going across the league. So I'll get into that a little bit later, but one more tab that I did want to show here. This is just the individual player stats, the skater stats, obviously still using Kekupful points system and Kekupful ADP here. I'm not going to scroll around in this too much. There's obviously a lot of players here to look at. Just wanted to take a quick look at skater ADP versus their performance. The top five players by fantasy points per game played all came from the first round. That's MacKinnon, Kucherov, Matthews, McDavid, and Pasternak. All came from the first round. You know, you just basically have zero chance of getting that Bobrovsky or Binnington season at skater. It's just not going to happen. Really, you have to go down to player number 30. Like, if you scroll down, again, I've got this sorted by Kekupful average points per game played. And again, I have a filter in so that we don't have any of these players who, you know, only played a few games. I cut it off actually at half the season, so 41 games played. So you have to scroll down on this list all the way down to player number 30 in fantasy points per games played before you get to Joel Eriksson Ek at 31, and he was the first player who was drafted outside the top 100 in Kekupful who actually returned any kind of value, right? So returned the 31st most fantasy points per games played. The first player drafted outside the 100 was 31st in fantasy points per games played. So that's the kind of value hunting you can do at skater. It's just so much harder to find these players at skater than it is at goaltender. And so getting that value above replacement, which you'll hear me talk a lot about at defense, obviously, as well, but getting that value above replacement is so much easier at the goaltender position than at the skater position. Again, one more thing, just to really drive this home, only 12 of the top 36 players by a couple average points or points per games played, only 12 of the top 36 players was drafted outside of the top 36. So we correctly predicted 2/3 of the top 3 rounds in Kekupful ADP, basically. That's just phenomenal work on the skaters. That's all I can really say. We're very, very efficient with skater ADP relative to goalie ADP. We're much, much, much better at skater ADP. And so you kind of have to take the skaters, in my mind, get those skaters that are much better bets. As I've been saying for years and years and years when it comes to 0G, get the skaters much better bets, get the core of your team stocked with great skaters, and then constantly mine the waiver wire for the goaltenders who can provide you just as good a production at the goaltender positions throughout the season as you could get from a top flight goaltender and just holding them through the season. All right. So now that we get to this point, I am going to talk through just a few like frequently asked questions, I guess. You know, a lot of people just ask me for like an elevator pitch for 0G. I've done things like that before. What is 0G? Basically, in my mind, I've said this before, but the way that I've kind of boiled it down is 0G to me is just spending less draft capital, especially on the goaltender position, Spend your draft capital on skaters where it matters, where it's statistically much more likely to hit and to hit in a meaningful way for you. And then use your waiver wire work throughout the season to find goaltenders that are performing at that time. You don't get tied down to goaltenders who are not performing but should be performing, like Alexander Georgiev. You don't get tied down to guys like that. You just kick them to the curb because you didn't spend anything on them. So you're happy to move on from them when they're not performing. And you go and you get the next thing, and you just keep cycling through goalies throughout the season. And honestly, you're often going to hit on some pretty good ones, and you're not going to cycle as much as you think you are. Like, a lot of people think that, you know, they hear me talk about this and they're like, oh man, you're spending two goalie ads per week. I'm really not spending that kind of attention on my goalies every week. You know, a lot of my leagues, I had Joey Decord for a good stretch. I had Connor Ingram for a good stretch. All these kind of goaltenders, Charlie Lindgren, all these kind of zero-G goaltenders, and you hang on to those guys while they're performing. When they're not performing, you're not hanging on to them anymore, and so you're not taking that L that I think a lot of managers do take with these other goaltenders. Like, everyone who drafted Shesterkin just had to suck it up when he was bad, right? They spent a third-round draft pick on him at the best, probably, right? That was probably the best-case scenario. A lot of people spent a second on him, and that's just something you had to suck up while he was performing terribly. And he performed terribly for a long time. And you just really can't, you feel like you can't drop that guy when you might honestly be better off dropping that guy if there's good zero G options on the wire in a lot of leagues, especially, you know, obviously the smaller your league is in terms of teams. Like, if it's an 8-team league, there's always going to be terrific options on the wire. 14-team leagues, it gets a little bit more difficult, but you still can do it. I'm living proof. Did it last year in tier 3 of Kakupful. Planned to do it again, see how he goes in tier 1 of Kakupful next year. But yeah, that's what I have to say about that. Zero G is really just avoiding spending precious draft capital on goaltenders and using that draft capital to assemble a really great group of skaters, and then using, you know, throughout the season, what zero G becomes is just paying attention basically to the goaltenders that are out there, to the situations that are out there across the league, what you can find out on the waiver wire and what you can pick up and add to your team to, yeah, basically approximate the goaltender production that everybody else in the league is getting, but you're just getting it from guys that you literally picked up for free rather than spent anything on. Another question that I get a lot is for categories leagues. How do we adapt zero G for categories leagues? Really, I don't think the basic premise changes at all. Really, the one thing that categories leagues tend to do is they heavily emphasize rate stats versus volume stats. So volume stats would be like saves, right? It's the reason that, you know, points leagues are cumulative. So, you know, you get a certain number of points for saves, you get minus for goals against, you get points for a win, you get points for shutout, things like that. But volume in a case like that is really important, because you're just adding points and adding points and adding points pretty much every time a goalie starts. Yes, you'll have some bad starts, you might get some negatives from those bad starts, but on the whole, you're basically, to boil it down, just looking for volume, because that's going to give you points in the end. In cats leagues, you're much more focused on the rate stats. And so you're much more focused. A lot of times, you know, you'll see a cats league that has wins, that has, I think the four standard categories in Yahoo, if I remember correctly, are wins, goals against average, save percentage, and shutouts. And so you could consider wins and shutouts to be volume categories, you know, goaltenders that play a lot more likely to get more wins, and more likely to get more shutouts. Shutouts is pretty unpredictable year to year. There's some predictability to it. You know, good teams, good spots to be in, they'll get more shutouts than bad defensive teams, obviously. It makes sense. But by and large, shutouts are fairly unpredictable, and I wouldn't really consider them a reliable volume stat. And so you're left with kind of maybe 1.5 volume stats to 2 rate stats. The goals against average and save percentage are rate stats, and how well they perform in individual games really goes a long way to whether you're winning those categories in a given week. And so in those cases, you're just prioritizing different things about goaltenders. The basic premise of not overpaying for goaltenders remains the same, but you're just prioritizing different things about those goaltenders. You're prioritizing goaltenders that are really in really strong situations. You know, the Boston goalies have been the shining example of this for a long time. Even before it was Ullmark and Swayman, you know, you had Rask and you had Halak, who were providing terrific rate stats for years and years. That's really the kind of situations that you should be focused on, in my mind, in these kind of Cats leagues, trying to basically win the rate stats, but not overpaying to do it. And so, yeah, those Boston goalies have been a good example. You know, you could have gotten a guy like Aiden Hill. Logan Thompson was great at times during the season. You know, some of these tandems can be a really good way to get that, get those rate stats, even if you're not getting the volume there. So that's kind of my take on Cats leagues. You just need to think about what you're prioritizing in the goaltenders you do go after. You don't need to change your overall approach to the goaltender position. Another thing that I get asked a lot is, you know, if my points league setup really heavily favors goaltenders, like, you know, the top five players last year were all goaltenders, you know, that means that I have to draft them early, right? No, the answer to that is quite simply no. Think about it this way, you know, your ability to predict the position does not change based on whether your points league setup values goaltenders high or low, right? Your ability to predict the goaltender performance does not change based on how many points your goaltenders score in your particular league. And so to spend more capital, you know, draft capital, going overboard for Shesterkin, something like that, is just kind of saying, you know, well, I hope the variance goes my way, and I just have to toe the line. You really don't, you know, you can get these guys, you can get Joey Decord for, you know, Q3, and you can get Charlie Lindgren for Q4, and you can absolutely crush everybody with those two. Like, these are really viable situations. You do not have to toe the line just because your points league has a heavy weight towards goaltender stats. Do I want to play in a league that has a heavy goaltender stat points weight? No, I do not. That just makes the league a lot more coin flippy. It just makes mining the waiver wire all the more stressful. It just makes goaltender performance have an inordinate effect on the outcome of the league, and that's just not something I want in my leagues. So that's not a league for me personally, and I would suggest if you want your skill as a fantasy manager to shine through, that's probably not the kind of league you want to be in. But if you find yourself in a league like that, that's my basic takeaway. Your ability to predict how goaltenders are going to perform does not change based on your points league setup, and so you should not alter your strategy based on that. Another one that I get a lot from new people to 0G, they ask me, you know, what round is it okay to draft a goalie in? You know, is it okay if I draft a goalie, you know, in round 7? Is it okay if I draft a goalie in round 10? Round 10 became a thing for 0G for a while, where everybody's like, all right, once I hit the double digits, I'm cool. I can grab goalies now. Nobody's going to say that I didn't do 0G. Really, it's not about that at all. Really, it's just about... value propositions. I said, you know, earlier that in the Apples and Geos Patron League, I took Georgiev in the 10th round because at that point I was looking at the skater options that were available. And I was like, I think, you know, if Georgiev hits in the right way, if he has another really great season the way he did the prior season, then he's just absolutely crushing the value I can get out of these other skaters. A lot of these other skaters, you know, like I said, skater ADP is actually pretty good. And so the skaters that you're getting in the 10th round are not really likely to be difference making players, whereas Georgiev, especially in a Cats league, really could be if he had had a season like he had the previous year. And so that's why I went that direction in that particular case. That's really the evaluation that you should be making at any given time. I will never give a hard and fast answer to what round is it okay to draft a goalie in. There is no hard and fast answer. I will say that whatever round you think it's good to draft a goalie in, you're probably still overestimating your ability to predict goaltender performance, like I was with Georgiev, I guess, in that particular scenario. And so, I think you're going to be If you're applying zero G correctly and you're paying attention, you're successfully combing the waiver wire and paying attention to goaltender situations across the league, you really don't have to over prioritize goaltenders. You can continue to take some shots on skaters well into the double digits if you so choose. And then another one that I do get is how do you decide, eventually you're probably drafting a goalie at some point in the draft. How do you decide which goalies to draft at that point? So first off, I am interested in volume. Volume is the most predictable goaltender stat. The performance is really hard to judge, but volume is less hard to judge. Usually you have at least some idea of who the starter might be. You have some idea of the coach, what their style might be. You have some idea of who the defensemen are on that team and how good the team is expected to be defensively. All these things kind of play into it for me. I'm basically looking at the team situation. I'm generally not trying to make some sort of grandiose assessment of the goaltender's skill level. I think I'm more likely or just as likely to be wrong as I am to be right when I'm trying to assess a certain goaltender's skill. So I really don't try to do that. I really am looking more so at the team and looking at the volume that that particular goaltender is likely to get, in my opinion. And then yeah, so for choosing waiver wire goaltenders, really it boils down to this heuristic for me that I've used kind of unconsciously, I think, until I really wrote it down this year. But when choosing the waiver wire goalies that I'm picking up personally, I'm looking for a goaltender that has at least two starts expected in the next week. I'm not looking to pick somebody up just because, they're the new hotness, but you look ahead and there's pretty much no way they're going to get two starts next week. I'm not interested. That is not valuable enough to me on a 1 week basis for it to be worth hanging on to a waiver wire level goaltender beyond a 1 week situation. So I'm looking at goaltenders exclusively that are expected to give me two starts next week. You have to use some sort of judgment in a lot of these cases. You have to put some time into this. There's no two ways about it. You have to, think through how what that goaltending situation has looked like. Look back at the trend of starts. Have they been alternating? One game this goaltender, one game the other goaltender, one game this goaltender, one game the other goaltender. There was a stretch in the playoffs where Frederik Andersen and Piotr Kochetkov, the fantasy playoffs, I should say, where they were alternating every other, and it was really easy to actually kind of predict and look ahead and be like, okay, so for this week, Andersen is going to get two starts. I was able to pick up Andersen in one spot where he was going to get two starts for the upcoming week, get him ahead of time on my team where I had a bye, and that really worked out. So that's what you can really be looking at is, are they going to get two starts based on the general trend of how the coaches is deploying and handing out these starts? So you do need to have some idea of that. If you're on Yahoo, if you're using that, then you can look back at the game log and see what games that goaltender has started in. And if they have been on some sort of every other schedule, or if they've gotten two of the last three starts and you expect them to do something similar, if they played only in back-to-backs or things like that, you can look through all those things and use that to kind of make an assessment on how many starts you think they'll get in the next week. And then basically, once I've narrowed down the waiver wire goaltenders that are going to give me at least two starts the next week, then I'm really just looking at team situation and the opponents that they're likely to play in the next week. That's really it. The team situation, how good is that team playing defensively at the given time? I've shared this before, but I look at Natural Stat Trick. They have a team season tab. You can look at their rate stats. Generally at 5v5 is what I like to look at over the last couple of weeks or so, how they're playing right now. What's their Corsi against per 60? What's their scoring chances against per 60? Are they on the top end of the league in those metrics? Are they in the bottom end of the league? That's kind of the quick and dirty way that I use to evaluate team situation. There are other factors that you can consider there, but that's the easiest and most repeatable thing that I can offer there. And then the opponents that the goaltender is likely to face. So you've already evaluated that you think they're going to get two starts. Which two starts do you think they're going to get? If you have an idea of that, and you can see that, you know, this past year, if you could see ahead of time that they're going to play San Jose and Anaheim that week, you'd be licking your lips, absolutely loving life that this goaltender is going to get two starts against San Jose and Anaheim. They're going to crush for you. So that's how I evaluate it. And then I really just see how that week goes for them. If the week goes good and they're expected to give me another two starts the next week, then I'm hanging on. And if they're not, then I'm kicking them to the curb and I'm restarting the process. It's really that simple. It doesn't have to be super hard. And this is a process that I use to hit on all these guys. Like I talked about, the Cord, the Ingram, the Lindgren, there's plenty of others that I ran into throughout the course of the season. The Kochetkov, the Anderson that I mentioned, lots of goaltenders that you can run to throughout the course of a season that are going to give you really good starts, really good trends of play, really good volume for a period of time. You know, goaltender is one of the most injury prone positions in hockey. Honestly, across a lot of sports. And so there's going to be injuries. There's going to be new situations cropping up all the time. Yes, there will be some weeks where it looks bad on the waiver wire, but there will be some weeks where you're like, man, how do I decide between all these options? So that's definitely something that I'm totally happy to do. And I think it really does work. There's, even in my 14 team leagues, I've always found that there are goaltenders available if you're willing to put the time in and to be a little bit proactive about checking out which goaltenders you need to be looking at for your team for the upcoming weeks. All right, and then the last topic here that I wanted to touch on, I always get asked this one too, but some early predictions for 0G goalies or situations for 2024-25. We obviously are going to get a ton of goalie movement again this offseason. I think that's going to be the norm moving forward. Lots of goalies changing places. Just moving between teams every single offseason. Not a lot of long goalie contracts. I think you're going to see a lot of this for, honestly, the foreseeable future. But four spots that I think are probably going to be kind of underrated spots in general for goaltender to land, and therefore are going to be good spots to find some value on some 0G goaltenders in our drafts. I think LA has to be on this list for sure. You saw what we got out of Cam Talbot and David Riddick for a short period of time this past year. Talbot's up. I assume they'll probably try to re-sign him on the cheap, but we'll see what happens there. They might add another goaltender there. Who knows? But I'd be interested in potentially both of the LA goaltenders. And then New Jersey is another one. It'll be interesting to see, you know, with an off season with the new coach, what that team looks like. Dougie Hamilton coming back should solidify things on the back end. I think they will add to the back end in this off season as well, and hopefully solidify that even more. And so it'll hopefully be a better situation. You have Jake Allen, I believe, under contract for next year, but they're definitely, I think, going to add to that goaltending situation as well. And so we'll have some options there. Seattle, I think, is going to be a good one. You have a coaching change there as well, so that'll be an interesting wrinkle. But I do think that Decord and Grubauer are probably going to split some starts there. Obviously, based on this past season, I think Decord is probably the guy you're most interested in at the moment. But, you know, going into last season, I was more interested in Grubauer and ended up being Decord. I'm totally open to Grubauer flipping the script this year. I don't think that's likely because I kind of think Grubauer sucks, but I'm not in the business of evaluating goaltender performance or predicting it. So that's what I'll say about that. And then Minnesota would be the last one that I have some interest in. It's probably going to be Gustafson and Fleury again. They both are under contract for next year. Gustafson was not as bad towards the end of the season as a lot of people think. He had a couple of rough games against Colorado. You know, Colorado can do that to you. But outside of that, he actually had a really strong end to the season. And so I do think that Gustafson could be a low-key bounce-back candidate, basically, for next year. Could be going very, very late in drafts and actually kind of take over next year that Minnesota net again and be pretty valuable. So leave you with that one. Obviously, it's way too early to be making these predictions, so don't hold me to it too hard, but It's fun to try to prognosticate at this point, and then we can look back and see if I got anything right or if I was just totally out to lunch. I fully expect to be totally out to lunch on all of those, but it's fun to make some guesses nonetheless. Well, if you made it this far in the episode, then I think the takeaway here overall is pretty clear, but I'll spell it out for the people in the back. Sergi is the easiest leg up on your competition that exists in fantasy hockey today. I really believe that in the next 5 to 10 years, 0G will become the widely accepted norm in fantasy. People look back at the present era and they'll laugh at the way that goalies were overdrafted as they're being right now. You know, fantasy football, if you can look across to another fantasy sport, fantasy football had similar arcs with both the late round quarterback and zero RB strategies, where fantasy football managers really just largely ignored objective database strategies that are presented by guys like JJ Zacharyson, Sean Siegel, and others. They really just ignored this in favor of the same old strategies that they'd grown up on for the past decade. And really, this only ended when a critical mass of managers started making database decisions instead of rigidly adhering to these antique strategies that were really just based on, hand-me-down groupthink more than anything else. That change, I truly believe, is coming for fantasy hockey, and I fully intend to be a part of it. So, if after all this, you still don't think that 0G is the optimal way to play the game, that's fine. I just thought I should warn you that you're wrong, and somebody in your league is probably going to beat you using it. But that's going to be all that we've got for this episode. Hopefully, it brought you some value, helped you get a little bit better at fantasy hockey today. All the stats you heard today came from Natural Stat Trick, terrific free resource. Many thanks to the band They're There for supplying the music for the podcast. Be sure to check out their Spotify as well. That's it, folks. Much love.